This is Neve McIntosh. I'm Madame Vastra from Doctor Who, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I will see you in the future.
Good morning! Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for December 1st, 2015. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hasenflow.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great places to find more information. You can go downtown Chicago. You could do all your Christmas shopping. Are you done with your Christmas shopping yet, Chip?
I haven't started Christmas shopping. Why start before?
It's December 1st.
Well, the panic will come on at some point.
That's right. You got plenty of time. Get that.
That's why there's Amazon, right?
That's why there's Amazon.TooMuchScrolling.com for all your shopping needs. I did some Black Friday shopping.
Did you? What did you get?
I got a new hard drive from Tiger Direct and had that shipped.
How much was it? Was it really a good deal?
4 terabyte hard drive external for $100.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
It is amazing. And they were doing a deal on Black Friday with Visa where they gave me $25 off of that.
So it was $75.
$75, no shipping.
And if we think about many computers, if you're lucky, you have a terabyte hard drive. Mm-hmm. 4 terabytes, that's a lot of pictures.
It's a lot of video. I use it mainly for video.
Okay.
There we go. Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week, and it's the holiday season, and you went out and took the family to the Peanuts movie, Chip.
We did, and we had a choice. Now, we went on a Tuesday, and then they had a pre-screening of The Good Dinosaur, and they had the Peanuts movie. Mm-hmm. And the children chose the Peanuts movie.
Interesting.
And they had really no desire to see The Good Dinosaur. I'm very surprised about that. But we went to the Peanuts movie. We had a great time. And my 12-year-old, who said she did not enjoy this film, laughed out loud throughout the entire film.
Okay.
So I don't know if we're starting to get this a little teenage feeling
or what.
This is certainly not a memorable film, but it is a very capable film. I really think what was missing a little bit on it was Vince Guaraldi's music or a piano player that had the expression of Vince Guaraldi, which if you don't know Vince Guaraldi, turn on your Christmas radio station and you'll hear Linus and Lucy over and over and over. It seemed to play it every hour. But he's got a wonderful voice on his piano, and it really kind of helped the Peanuts story. I still wonder a little bit about the Snoopy part of this story. It seems very forced in it, but my kids didn't mind it, and the little kids behind us did not mind it because they giggled at every shaking butt or anything else.
There you go.
There is a little tear at the end, so you know, just make sure you bring a little Kleenex.
Oh boy, the Titanic goes down. Luke is his father.
Well, I think a lot of it is Charlie Brown's a good guy.
There you go. You're a good man, Charlie Brown. No, that's a different movie. Opening this week, speaking of different movies, we've got the Chi-Raq, the story from Spike Lee about the violence in Chicago and how we can solve it. He found a solution to the violence in Chicago, and it's from a Greek play from 400 BC called Lysistrata.
Yes, and they said for the women not to have sex with men, which I think is a total problem.
It's a bad solution.
Bad solution. It's a solution looking for a problem. Well, the problem that we talk about is gun violence. Mm-hmm. And Spike Lee wrote, and directed this film here in Chicago. Rahm Emanuel, who is our mayor, immediately said, oh, we're so glad you're doing this. Oh, my goodness, you're not doing this movie. I disown this movie.
Don't you love politics? The people that can speak out of both sides of their mouth like that, they have jobs for life.
Well, I think that what we're dealing with is the result of years and years of drugs prohibition. If we go back less than 100 years ago with alcohol prohibition and all the challenges, how violent Chicago was considered, or any other part of the United States that had to deal with alcohol prohibition and the violence that came from that. It's like what do they call them, Baptist bootleggers. They and on Sunday, bootleggers are all bad, 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 but Monday they're making their booze, right? Well, here in the United States, and I certainly would never suggest to anybody to take time to take drugs. But there is a drug culture, and there are people who use drugs, and there are bad things that happen to people who use drugs. We need to recognize that. But we have created a situation where the violence we are experiencing, because people have to carve out territories in the black market, and the poor people who have to live in those areas get the violence that is a result of that. And it is nasty. And I hope it's addressed in this film. And I don't know if it's going to be addressed in this film. We're getting the results. We're getting the people who whose lives are being torn apart by living in a very dangerous area of society. And I'm sorry of that. I look forward to seeing this film. I may see this in the theater.
Yeah, I think this is one that I might actually spend some money to see. It's gotten a lot of marketing, that's for sure.
Let me mention something also that's very interesting about this movie. Amazon was one of the sponsors of this movie, paying for it. And so because of that, if you go to YouTube and kind of look for the trailer for this movie, it's not really there. Hmm. There's some bootleg versions of it, but it's not there. The one we put in our notes actually is from Vimeo.
Hmm.
And that is from the distributor of this film. So it's very interesting that we may start having some companies moving away from YouTube as far as their distribution of their sales material.
Maybe taking some business away from Google is okay. The other movie that's coming out is one of my favorites. I love Shakespeare, Chip.
Macbeth, right?
Yeah, you can say that all you want. I will not say that word.
Well, we have the witches, baby.
Oh, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble. This is classic. This is 400 years old, and it looks like it's going to be a great version of the story.
So our first movie is from 400 BC.
Right.
And this one is 400 years old.
We're on the cutting edge on this show, Chip.
Maybe eventually they start bringing out some more of those more modern writings. This looks like a very good film.
Michael Fassbender, who is the Magneto from all those X-Men movies,
uh-huh.
Not all of them, some of those X-Men movies, because they traveled through time in those movies, is going to be portraying the main character here, and it looks like an exciting new version.
Oh, I look forward to this. There's a limited release. I don't know if that means it's going to be available through iTunes or something like that, but hopefully very quickly it will get to where we see it. So it may not be at your local theater, or maybe at the art theaters, maybe where you'll end up seeing it.
The other one's a pretty artsy movie, too. This one's called Life, and it's the story of the photographer for Life magazine who's assigned to shoot pictures of James Dean.
So if we think back to all those iconic pictures that came from Life magazine of James Dean, where he's walking down the street, he's smoking, and things of that nature, there was a photographer that was assigned to them. And it looks like there was some turmoil. They were saying, this is the voice of this new generation. This is the zeitgeist.
Without a cause.
This is the zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm.
This guy looks like he's kind of, not that important. But somehow, this movie is about how he captured basically an era that has never gone away. Those pictures are still. I mean, think about that time. You had Marilyn Monroe and James Dean, and all these iconic pictures. They're still around today. We still you can picture them in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So this looks like another. This is a limited release. This looks like another very interesting film. I don't know if this is going to be the Oscar worthy type thing, but it definitely looks like they're getting them out before the end of the year.
It is another one of those races to the end of the year, and they got it out before the end of the year.
And all three of these films that we picked up were all based on. These are for grown-ups. This certainly isn't the Star Wars group. This isn't the Hunger Games group. This is a whole different audience that they're picking this up for.
And getting them out before Star Wars hits the theater and takes all the money. Just bring all the money to the Star Wars theater.
Speaking of Star Wars, when we went to see the Peanuts film, the theater we went to see it with, I was talking to the hostess a little bit, and she said that for Star Wars, they're planning on, they've already told them that they are going to be open 24 hours.
Wow.
And every theater will probably be showing Star Wars.
Amazing.
So if you want to see Star Wars that evening, you can go at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning. It's going to go 24 hours.
Wow. Trying to avoid the blockbuster. The idea of standing in line to watch a movie that we had in 1977 with the first Star Wars. We're in a different age now. And yeah, they have the ability, because we're not working with prints. We have digital copies. We can send that digital file to as many rooms as we have in the multiplex.
Oh, how wonderful.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Speaking of amazing, brings us to our appetite, our app of the week, and Google
Alphabet?
I don't know. I don't know anymore. I'm just going to keep calling it Google until the Sears Tower. Oh. Google is rolling out a Star Wars-based virtual reality experience. It's a part of their cardboard. I don't know if you've seen Google's cardboard.
Tell me about cardboard.
It is literally a piece of cardboard that you wrap around your phone, and it turns it into a virtual reality helmet.
And you wear it
mm-hmm.
over your eyes,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to give you a virtual reality experience?
Uh-huh. Can you imagine the next generation of film going with this virtual reality? That's what ILM and Google have been working on.
Well, to prepare for this, I read the article that you gave, and also I watched the video. The video is about 16 minutes long,
mm-hmm.
and I can tell you, cardboard, as a way of viewing things, it's going to change how you watch movies. It could change how you watch plays.
Can you imagine sports?
Sports. You are going to be immersed, mm-hmm. as in it's going to happen around you.
One article, I'm not sure if it was this article or another one, the author said, this is like color TV. When mm-hmm. color TV revolutionized how we watch TV, virtual reality is right on the cusp of revolutionizing our entertainment.
I'm all there. I can see this. Oh, ultimately, it's a game changer, like when the talkies, the movies first came.
Right.
The black and white television came to the home, the color television, and then the big screen. So now we have these high definition, we can watch the sweat roll down the cheeks of the football players. This is a little bit different because you're going to go to a room. In fact, your basement is established. You've got a room all ready for this.
Yes, I do.
You basically are going to be able to walk in. You'll have this thing over your eyes. You'll have actors on the side. In fact, the ILM video shows this big dinosaur. And there's an actor over there with the dots all over him who's off screen,
mm-hmm.
but is interacting with you. They're putting the head of the dinosaur over your head.
Like virtual puppetry.
Yes, right there. And you can easily see how they could create something like a Raiders of the Lost Ark type of event.
Oh,
and
imagine.
You're actually in the movie. You're the guy that's sprinting in front mm-hmm. of the big rolling boulder coming towards you.
Imagine Disney World. And what they're going to be able to do with this technology 5-10 years from now.
Sure, and I think that's going to be an interesting play on what it could do to how we interact in the world. You know, the difference between going to the Amazon in mm-hmm. South America and experiencing that versus going to a pseudo-Amazon where Disney kind of creates it for you at a park to going to the Amazon that could be in your basement room
mm-hmm.
where you actually go through that a little bit too.
It's science fiction, and it's coming true.
Oh, absolutely. And it's coming fast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how quickly they'll refine it. The pictures that they were doing, when I say were very good, they are very good. They can be somewhat lifelike,
mm-hmm.
but you know that it doesn't take too much long to, you know, put, you know, some wind things through there
yeah.
or some things to smell things, and all of a sudden you can truly immerse yourself into a damp environment or whatever
Amazing.
You need to do.
So that's coming out tomorrow. So go out tomorrow to your Verizon store and pick up. It's a piece of cardboard that says Star Wars on it. So you know that I have to get at least one of them. They are going to release 4 different varieties. So I will probably own 4 of these tomorrow.
Now, do you know, does it cost a lot?
They have not released a price on this yet.
Okay.
I hope not. The original cardboard, the just brown cardboard, is about $4 or $5.
Okay.
There are some people who are making them and charging $20. And there's some plastic ones that are a little more expensive, but none of them are $100.
So this is very reasonable.
Very reasonable.
And will this also be able to work with any type of smartphone?
This works with iOS and Android.
Okay.
Which Google is very good at being cross. Even though they make Android, they are still very good at noticing that there's a lot of iOS people mm-hmm. out there. So they do cross over to both.
Well, that sounds like a fun uh-huh. type of thing to get and possibly a good Christmas present.
Uh-huh. Let's not say that too loud. Brings us to our book of the week. And guess what, Chip? It's about Star Wars.
Was it about Star Wars?
Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars.
So we talked a little bit about the short stories that are going to be released through Amazon, through the Kindle app.
And they have released one of them. This one is called The Perfect Weapon by Delilah Dawson. It's a 60-page short story.
Okay.
It's $2. You can get it through our show notes or through our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com. And it's a fun read. It's quick. It's a short story.
Sure.
Is there
anything that's going to be part of the movie that should be a part of the as a prequel?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. It is a prelude.
Okay.
It is not a prequel. Because,
excuse me.
Yeah. Because it is a story that's told before The Force Awakens.
Okay.
And so there might be a nugget of information in these 60 pages, but I don't know. And I won't know until December 17th when I get to sit down and watch The Force Awakens.
Oh.
I love preludes. I'll watch all the preludes for a Doctor Who episode.
Mm-hmm.
The BBC puts out these small snippets before the story.
Sure.
And having that information makes the story better. This is an example of a prelude.
Oh, wonderful.
So this one is a story about a fourth level character. It's not about Luke Skywalker. It's not about Darth Vader.
Okay.
It's about another character. This is a mercenary named Bazine Natal, and she is out on a mission that is related to what we might see, but I don't know how it's related. So
okay.
It's going to be very interesting. Pick this one up. It's $2. It's worth a couple hours of reading.
Well, the fun part is that we have them maybe coming out weekly, and we're going to be able to check them out and build up to the movie.
The build-up is happening, Chip. It's happening. Brings us to our Now the News. And speaking of things that are happening, December 4th, we are going to see A Very Murray Christmas on Netflix.
It's going to have Miley Cyrus. It's going to have Paul Schaefer. I mean, you know it's going to be great.
So this is Bill Murray, one of our favorites, Chicago's very own Bill Murray. We know him. We know what he does. He's a very silly person, and this is a very silly Christmas.
Well, it looks like, I think the story means everything has shut down, which is always great, because, you know, New York is a 24-hour city. So obviously when everything shuts down, it must be really bad.
So they put on a Christmas show. I think it's going to be fun.
We'll see. I'm looking forward to it.
It's worth a try, at least. I love Bill Murray. Bill mm-hmm. Murray can do almost no wrong. I've seen every Bill Murray movie, and he's very silly. He's just Bill Murray.
He is Bill Murray, and that's the reason why we're going to watch it.
Yeah, we're going to watch that one on the 4th of December. Raspberry Pi is coming out with a new computer. We've talked about the Raspberry Pi before. It is a very small credit card sized computer.
That was $35.
And the one that I bought was $35. And it's fine. It's interesting. It's fun to play with. They are rolling out a new $5 computer, Chip.
Isn't that amazing? That is absolutely
mind-boggling.
Amazing. Well, we were talking and preparing for this, and you said, "Well, why would we put together this $5 computer that is obviously underpowered and all this other stuff?" Well, our answer to that was actually the Google CEO or Alphabet CEO, however you want to refer to him, who basically inspired the Raspberry Pi Foundation, who was looking at building more expensive. They were going to have a $35 computer, they were going to have a $50 or $60 computer and stuff like that. He said, no. You should look at going less expensive. And in fact, he said, the less expensive you make it, the cheaper you make it, the better it will be. And we're down to a $5 computer, which, that just makes no sense. How could you put together something? It's like bananas. How do you buy bananas, you know, 10 bananas for a dollar, and how do they even make any money?
It is unbelievable to me as a child of the 80s to think about a $5 credit card sized computer.
Well, and the CEO of the Raspberry Pi Foundation said that conversation with Google CEO changed his life. So this is the reason why they put this out. So if you were thinking that the Raspberry Pi was just too much, maybe this is the new version.
Maybe the $5 Raspberry Pi is going to spark a lot more interest. It's the idea of it mostly is for home automation. Mm-hmm. The idea that everything in your house can be a computer, everything in your house can communicate with everything else in your house. At that point, we can write scripts that when action A happens, seven other things can happen as a result. And the mind can go in every direction possible. That's
why it was designed.
Unbelievable.
It runs a version of Linux mm-hmm. on it, so the Raspberry Pi version of Linux. So, like I said, amazing, amazing, amazing times we live in. If you've ever wanted to play and learn something about either programming or think you can solve something, it doesn't seem like it's going to be that difficult to find a way to get your computer operating system. That certainly is not the issue.
I can imagine getting a class full of these and having our students work on these, because just the hands-on learning of how a computer works can change a life.
Well, in fact, you just mentioned something. My youngest daughter has a science project that's due, and she's doing something that everyone else would do. Mm-hmm. But the point is, I think you just said it, if you gave every kid a $5 Raspberry Pi, and this is your direction, solve something.
Yeah.
And see what they could do.
Problem-based learning. Yeah. Absolutely.
Solve something in your home.
Can change the world.
It will squeeze the toothpaste out for me.
Sure.
Could be anything.
Anything. Anything you can imagine, we can automate that process. The only thing we can't automate is Star Wars.
Did you say Star Wars?
Star Wars chip. Star Wars. The MPAA has given Star Wars The Force Awakens a rating, and I think that Disney is going to be a little cautious here. It has received a PG-13 rating. This is the second Star Wars movie ever to receive a PG-13.
Well, Star Wars and Disney and Lucasfilm have been very, very deliberate on making sure that the books, the writings, the comics, everything is aimed towards this audience of 8 to 12, 8 mm-hmm. to 14, whatever. It is youth-based entertainment.
Yes.
Now, this is when I say somewhat problematic, I'm not saying this is a changer. This was not the ideal for Disney, in my opinion. But we should also recognize this is cartoon violence. This is going to be on the level of, say, Avengers movie violence, where we knew people died, we mm-hmm. knew things happened, but there's not blood and splatter. And
Star Wars doesn't have blood. That is one thing that was very clear in 1977, was George Lucas was making this for kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he basically made it to sell product.
Well, true.
But the reality of this is I don't think this is going to be a stopper from people seeing this. I guess there's a part of society that may. But really, we're dealing with cartoon violence mm-hmm. here. And this is definitely aimed for youth. This was an ideal, but it happened. So be it.
Yeah, I think it'll be okay. I think my kids certainly will be going to this movie, just as we've gone to all the Marvel movies, mm-hmm. despite the fact that they are, you know, a little more violent than I would like to have in my kids' sight.
But we're not talking about war violence, and we're not talking about right. Post-traumatic stress disorder type of violence. We're talking adventure violence. And, you know, these are part of telling the story. Mm-hmm. And I don't think this is... should dissuade somebody from going into this. I can tell you my tickets for my children, my two girls, 12 and 14, they have no desire to see this film. And dad is automatically, he's forcing them to see this. We'll see how this works out.
You will watch Star Wars and you will like it. As long as you live under my roof.
That's right. If I've got to listen to Adele once again.
That's right. It's payback. There's so many references to Star Wars now. You found all this Google. What is it that you type into Google?
Google has a lot of Easter eggs all over Google. So if you typed in a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away into your Google browser, then what you'll get is an experience that you may be familiar with. So there's Do you have it?
I do. I'm looking at it right now.
All right.
And smiling from ear to ear.
But there's all sorts of Easter eggs all over Google. One of the things you can do is you can click on a site. You can choose to be the light side or the dark side. And what you're doing there is it will change your Chrome browser to reflect your the way that you're going to view the world.
I love it. And that back to our discussion about the Google Cardboard. This is Google working with Disney, working with Star Wars, being a part of this marketing machine to get this information to us. Google is where we go for our information.
Well, when the Star Wars prequels came out, I worked in an office. There was a big Unisys floor, maybe more than one floor. But I remember what they did was they bought out the theater across the street. And they just went ahead and scheduled a meeting there if they're going to have work. So technology companies tend to have people that have enjoyed Star Wars, and they're planning accordingly. So I wouldn't be surprised if Google has more things, and other tech-based companies have more things also related to Star Wars.
It's ramping up. We're in December. We're in the home stretch. We got 17 more days before I get to see this movie. I'm getting a little excited. Google, Google's in charge of information. That is where we stick our information. And the European courts have told Google that they need to be able to expunge certain information from Google, this right to be forgotten.
This is real interesting. Some of the requests for Google or to tech companies seems to be really at odds with what these companies can do for you. So if we talked a little bit about encryption and how they want back doors to encryption over the last few weeks, and that they've created rules that are requesting that they make that happen. Well, if it's not if that happens, then it's not encrypted. Okay, with this one is you have the right to be forgotten in Google. Well, what does that mean? I mean, so Google can take away John Smith, who may have done something in the past he once forgotten. It's going to go somewhere. Even if Google doesn't have it, there's backups of backups of backups out there on the web. There's a dark place on the web. Obviously, Anonymous works in it. So this idea that you can truly be forgotten on the web, Google's just reporting that information. They certainly, you're asking them to censor. Mm-hmm. And either something is censored or it's not. Mm-hmm. And this to me seems like ripe for like this AOL type wrapper around the internet, that there's like a cowboy part of the internet and then there's the baby part of the internet. Let's see how this thing works. Who's going to pay for this? I mean, is Google required to pay to take your name off of something that's showing up in a search? They're reflecting the information that's out there. They certainly are not they're not making the news. They're reporting what's coming through.
Yeah, the report here is that they got 348,000 forget requests, and that the right to be forgotten requests have targeted slightly more than 1.2 million internet pages.
Now, reading the article, it sounds like that they've gone through, as far as Google has gone through, and some of the stuff they can help you with. But some of it is just historical narrative that, you know, they're just not going to be able to get rid of. So they're going to play with the idea of denying some of this. But my point is that somebody is going to have to make a decision on it. That seems to be kind of arbitrary, where the information coming through Google is somewhat objective, except for people who pay for it. But it's somewhat objective, and then it's going to become very subjective. Seems 1984-ish on some level, too. George Orwell may not be as happy about that either.
Well, at least we can turn to Facebook.
Yes, we can.
Facebook has released their SDK for tvOS, so that those of you who are working on the new tvOS from Apple, the Apple TV version 4, you can now get Facebook on your TV.
Well, Apple Insider said this actually may be a good thing in the sense that you'd have a universal login to get to your all those apps where you have to go to NBC Sports /activate, put the code in, and then it comes through and it updates
Facebook login could be the solution to that. That's a good point.
So that is one of the propositions they had over there. There could be all sorts of other kind of interesting plays. On some other level, do you want Facebook really looking at what you're looking at on this thing too?
Or? And do you want Messenger popping up on your TV while you're watching a movie?
Well, I'm not really. I think that...
I don't.
I don't either. But anyway, let's see what happens.
We'll see what happens with all of this stuff. And we're going to see what happens with all of this stuff more because we are going to live forever.
Well, in the past, what would we do? We would conquer some area in Egypt. We'd have this, all these subjects behind us. Mm-hmm. When we passed away, they would bury us with a boat, take out our innards, dry them out, put them in a bowl, get them all ready for us, and then take all of our subjects around us and kill them so they're ready for us too.
So the future of that,
so we've evolved beyond that.
Yeah,
we have
technology now.
We can improve them.
Now we can take your personality and save it to a hard drive. I've seen this sci-fi movie already.
Oh, you have? I can already think of this. Think about your mother-in-law. And we'll just think about putting her on a computer. And maybe we just make that your... Maybe that's your Siri from now on.
There you go.
Steve, I knew you couldn't find this place. So I've already pulled this up for you.
Yeah. The idea of being saved to a hard drive and being an intelligence in a computer system and living forever.
Steve, you can haunt your children forever. Uh-huh. You can haunt your children's children.
Oh, boy. There's nothing negative that could happen in any of these scenarios. Boy, oh boy. It's amazing how much science fiction has become reality in the 21st century.
Wasn't that part of Ultron, the movie?
I was thinking My Mother the Car.
Oh, that could be it. But I'm thinking of the Ultron movie where they have the bad guy, mm-hmm. the Nazi era bad guy who was living in the computer. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like maybe comics did predict everything. You never know.
It's amazing how the people who are making the innovations are looking toward those stories. Mm-hmm. The flip phone couldn't have existed without Star Trek.
Steve could be his own C-3PO. You never know.
I think I already am. I think I'm already pretty much a cyborg at this point. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week.
We can come back next week and the week after and the week after and the week after, as long as we have enough electricity to run the hard drive.
Excellent. We have 4 terabytes. We can save a lot.
There you go. If you need more information, you can find it on our website, TooMuchScrolling.com. You can send us an email, TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. Call us or send us a text, 805-410-4TMS. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. You can find us on all the social media that you can imagine, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and every day of the week, and go to our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com, and get more information to save to that hard drive so that you can haunt your children. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflum.
We'll see you in the future.